Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Lumo SA, Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.
Yeah, good evening, Malcolm Blight and David Wilde. All thanks to Hyundai Forklifts, the driver's choice that will drive your productivity. Just remember that name. I've got one of them as a welcome, Malcolm Blight, a Hyundai. Terrific cars, but also got the forklifts. How are you?
I am really good, David. Big day in footy. Actually, there's a few headlines around, isn't there? First of all, I think we should acknowledge that the teams are in and that Melbourne are unchanged for the grand final.
No real surprise. Do you think anyone...
No.
So Spargo's come up with his ankle and Stephen May is okay with a hemi.
Yep, and just for the Western Bulldogs, Keith's back in and Waitman. They were certainties to come back in if they were fit. And at the moment, the boys out are Anthony Scott, Latham Vandermeer, the lad that kicked the point, and Ryan Gardner,
unlucky
the tall.
Too.
Yeah, he's unlucky. But I would think Vandermeer might be the medical sub.
I think if he had a hammy, a slight hammy.
But they wouldn't name him if he wasn't fit.
No.
So Gardner's going to be a bit unlucky, but it's always unlucky, isn't it? So we thought what would happen has happened.
Could have been Cordy.
Cordy's played, I wrote it down today, he'd played many more games.
This year.
Yeah, many more games. I forget what the number is now, but one was 8 or 9 and the other was teens.
Yeah. The other big story, well, we said it last week, got the mail was right.
Yes.
And last weekend on Michael Voss.
You're actually a gambler on the footy, aren't you? I'm not, as you know.
Yeah, you're allowed to have a gamble responsibility.
Sponsorly, yep.
Yeah, he got backed in from $8 to... even money.
And you got on...
Wish you got the mail a day before. Would have been $8. But well done to Michael Voss. I mean, he's been round a long while. I know you admire him as a player.
Yeah.
You said he's one of the ones you really do admire. And I think he didn't do a horrible job with Brisbane. Didn't have a great side back then either.
No, well, it was on the down. What he did do was follow the great Lee Matthews. And anyone that's done that, I've mentioned Matthew Knights followed Kashidi. I followed Barassi. And the side's on the way down.
Of course it is. That's why they're going.
Yeah. And he coached 109 games for 43 wins. So it wasn't disastrous and played in one final series. So, yeah, I mean, and he's done it well. And he spoke highly. Gee, he spoke beautifully today. He spoke lovely about his time at Port Adelaide. He was very complimentary of all that. Ken Hinckley.
Well.
Yeah, he did speak well.
Here's Michael Voss asked if he had something to prove.
Oh, well, that's what everyone else believes, as I've gone for many, but is not actually right. But no, I won't lie. There's an element of that within me, and I am essentially a competitor. I guess ratifying that as a player is one thing because it's very easy to be able to get there and make a difference by the way that you play. But you do that very differently as a coach. And for me, I guess as a competitor, you're always trying to get the best version of yourself. And we're not here to just be, part of a group. We're here to be the best. And that's what as competitors we'll try and strive for.
Well, his only doubt was whether Clarkson would come back in the fold. And this time he said no, and he's kept to his word, Alistair Clarkson, I'm not going to coach. But here's Brian Cook on how close it got to Clarko.
My discussions with Alistair were very much on a personal level, which is interesting. We spoke about a lot of things other than coaching, I must admit. And in the end, it was very obvious that with Alistair's desired lifestyle in the future, there was no way he wanted to coach. And so the discussions were relatively long, but in the end, he wasn't interested in coaching anyone. So there was no need for me to take that any further.
I wonder if it was a worrying couple of days, though, for Vossie, because he probably told he's got the job if they can't get Clarkson. But well done to Michael Voss. Now, I was going to ask you, too, without Voss, he goes to Carlton, Schofield goes home. What effect does that have on Port Adelaide and Ken Hinckley?
Well, what it'll do, I mean, I know exactly where that's going. I think it'll freshen up the group. You know, I mean, you'll get two new people in there. And I think that'll be good for everybody. It's good for the boys going, obviously for Vossie and Scully, but I think it's also a fantastic chance for Ken Hinckley and the Port Adelaide Football Club just to reinvigorate the place with a couple of new faces. Hey, David, I just want to bounce something off you. With this grand final being in Perth, last year's at the Gabba, which was a great event, I was lucky enough to be there, I've just got this feeling now. I know that the AFL have signed a massively long-term deal with the MCG. I've got this feeling now, when this turns out to be successful, which hopefully it is on the weekend, I reckon 2 out of 3 should be played at the MCG. then I reckon we should have a rotation system around the rest of the country.
Sydney, Queensland, South Australia, WA.
Exactly. Yep, all of that. And I reckon we should. And you know, somewhere down the track, maybe even Tassie, you know. But I just think if you did two out of three, yes, the MCG, everyone loves it, but one in three, go somewhere else. Even extend it for the MCG to go a 100-year contract.
Well, it's locked into 2054 at the moment.
All that. So, I mean, why not lock into 2089, pick a number,
don't mind it,
and give every other state a chance.
You've been to many grand finals at MCG. How did that Brisbane one rate at the Gabba last year in comparison?
Oh, no, it was high, but I mean, you can't. The biggest stadium in the country is the MCG. 100,000 people there. Yeah. It is noisy. It is something special. We know all that. It's the biggest stadium. If the other states wanted to do it, they should have built a 100,000 seat stadium. But, oh, no, I think the MCG
should. It was a night grand final last year, too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah, similar to what they're going to do this year. So, yeah, I just think two out of three at the MCG, one away.
Yeah, I like it. Absolutely like it.
Yeah, we've got Troy. Hi, Troy. Good evening.
How you going, boys? Good. I'll tell you what, two great minds think alike. Lee Matthews said one in five.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
One in five.
Yeah, one in five.
I reckon one in three. I've never heard Lee say that. I only thought it today when
I don't mind
watching
the two, because that's where it should be at the moment. And then everyone gets a chance every year.
Oh, okay. You know that we actually both came up with a 6-6-6 that the AFL now use too on the same day with different journalists. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, you and Lee Matthews, mate, are basically the only. Well, I listen to a lot of people, but I only comprehend what you and Lee say a lot of the times. The rest is hickledy pickledy. My question to you boys, and I'd like to congratulate Vossie on his job with Carlton. I just hope he doesn't do any good when we play in Port Adelaide. Malcolm, now, he's got a lot of mates, as you know, and I've heard a few names and a few of them from the Brisbane Lions to be assistants there. Is that still going on the, you know, job for the boys, or is he, you know, and what you don't know, or is it a bit more professional these days?
No, it's much more professional. I think there's some people, if you've worked with Troy, you have a trust and you understand them. I get that. You might have one or two of those in your group, but you wouldn't have the whole group doing that. You'd love some IP from other clubs. You'd love some people from other clubs in other systems to throw stuff around.
Mm.
If you're all the same, you're not required. I really think get a trustworthy couple, if you like, but have the other three, whatever number that is, get them from other places. You don't hardly know them. Work out what you're going to do together. So, no, it's not a job for boys now, mate. You really have to put your head down and work hard.
G'day, Tony.
Oh, hi, boys. How you going? This is Lighty. I heard today, earlier today, Blighty, with your 1997 about D. Jarman, running him out the middle for a kick and then moving up full forward, starting him in centre. I remember a day in the late 80s when Mickey Noonan played him for four quarters with the wind blowing a gale from down to the golf course end at Footy Park, and played four quarters against South, kicked eight goals, loose man in defence.
Is that right? Yeah.
And you never mentioned him. You never mentioned his play as a defender. Mate, he was an absolute champion, loose man in defence.
No, Tony, you wouldn't have heard me then. Don't you realise when I first came back to the Crows, I had to, anyone that played in the midfield had to play half-back flank. Darren Jarman played half-back flank in a number of games for the Crows early in the season. So just in case grand final day it wasn't working for the midfield, I as a coach and them as a player had somewhere else to go. So in both grand finals we won, I had to change the midfield both times at half-time, and it worked. Thank
never
goodness.
Forget the night he first came out from Gaze, a little fatty, but boy, did he have ability and could kick a 60, a bit like kick 60 metres both feet, Darren. Yeah. Unbelievable kick. Hello, Craig.
G'day, how you going?
Good, Craig.
That's good. Last night you were talking about players who don't get to play in the grand final getting a medal. I think Malcolm, I think in 1997, Anthony Modra kicked 87 goals and was out for the finals, and Mark Cresciuto was out for the finals. And they would have played nearly every game of the whole season. Surely someone like guys like that should be given a medal.
One of the problems with it, Tony, and Craig, sorry, this is one. Come back the other side. If anyone played a game, now this year you could be a Medi sub, and I've said this a couple of times now, you might not even get on the field. You get guaranteed a game. You play for a minute and you get a medal. It's just not right. It's just something not right about it. And Josh Bruce last night, if you heard us, the guy that's going to miss out for Western Bulldogs, he said it tongue-in-cheek, and now he's rescinded that and said, no, if I don't play, I don't want a medal.
I reckon 9 out of 10 wouldn't want a medal.
No, I agree with you.
You missed
one, David, with
an
injury.
And I was there right in the rooms, you know, on the ground after, but played nearly every game that year and missed a grand final. And you don't feel part of that win, but you do feel part of the season.
I tell you what, I played with a terrific player called Graham Melrose, won a Sandover medal, came and played for North Melbourne. When we won in 75, he broke his arm. And when we won in 77, he did his knee. He played in the 76 and 78 losing ones, David. So he never got a medal there. And you know what? He didn't want to go. No. He didn't want to go anywhere near the medal.
Exactly the same as me. He played two losers, missed out on the big win. That's sport, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Hey, what's our poll today?
Oh, well, our poll, here we go. We play Keno from $1 a game, gamble responsibly with a draw every few minutes. There's always time for a spot of Keno. I love the game. Play today, but gamble responsibly. It's only $1 a spin. It's good, isn't it? Good fun.
It is.
Just a little bevy. Drive carefully, gamble responsibly, of course.
Now, that poll tonight, who wins tomorrow night in the prelim final in the Sandford? Is it the Bays or South Adelaide? Gee, they've got South a favourite. I'm still tipping Glenelg to go top.
46-50. Gee, I've just looked up. The Bays 46, South 54.
Mind, South are in good form.
Yeah, they are.
Really good. Winning form's good form.
Yeah, but the Bays are pretty good team.
Only lost two games all year.
Gee, that's surprising. I thought the Bays would have been favourite there. Craig, they still might be.
Craig also wanted to know how MB, Malcolm Blight, sees today's coaches and positional flexibility, like you did with half back flanks, etc.
Well, Craig, I love it. What a good question. You know why? The other night on AFL 360, which I do watch, it's a footy show, and they had the two coaches on. Gerard Waitley had the two coaches on, Damien Hardwick and Alistair Clarkson, the two most winningest coaches in the last 15 years. Both of them agreed that tagging someone is no good. So I don't get it. Tagging someone is good. They reckon, because of interchange and all that. It is absolute rubbish. It is a cop-out, and that's why too many players in the midfield now, they run around by themselves, as Mike Sheehan said the other night, get Brownlow medal votes and get 36 votes. You're kidding.
If someone could have tagged Dustin Martin last year and actually kept him out of the game, Geelong win.
Yeah. I don't
understand that.
They say, you can't do it now. It is. I set in a box, and it's absolute rubbish.
Well, you're only sacrificing one man for the other. Aren't you? You're putting one of yours onto one of theirs.
Well, I mean, I'm flabbergasted.
Don't full forwards get tagged?
Of course they do. I mean, if someone gets hot, I always said if someone starts to get a bit hot, I mean, just quieten him down for a while. Give him 5 minutes of, a little aggro. I really got bemused. I mean, I love the way they coach and the record's great, but to admit that you can't stop someone is admitting failure.
Ever thought of coaching one day?
Oh, I might think about it.
You should. We're going to take a break. John Rao from the Herald Sun and Fox Sports will join us. And also Toddy Gray. Let's hopefully we can get a winner tonight.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.
Yeah, Bloody and Wilds Sports Day. So, hey, let's try and find a winner. The 2021 TAB Adelaide Cup, or TAB Adelaide Cup, is on Angle Park Friday, October 8th. We're hoping to do our show from there. We've been to the last couple. Fantastic night.
Great
night. Get up
night.
At Chase's restaurant and have a bet. You got the best seats in the house. And, of course, a new renovated track. So that night again, the 2021 TAB Adelaide Cup, October 8th. But let's welcome the man, our guest tipster, very popular man too, Toddy Gray. Hi, Todd.
Hey, boys! I tell you what, if I keep back tipping losers like I am, I won't be popular for long.
I see you got a 50-1 tonight. What's going on there?
Well, you know, I'm that parched for a winner and thirsty, but I thought I might as well start throwing out some Hail Marys, boys. No, I do. It's been a while since I've thrown one out at these odds, but when I get around to it, I'll let you know my thinking. I've got three for you tonight, lads.
Okay.
A little bit of a treat.
Let's go. Where do you start with, mate?
We start, lads. I don't have a best bet tonight. These are all kind of value bets, and there's one where I've tipped two in one race, lads, so I'd go for them both to win. But the first one tonight, lads, is race 5, number 1, Dashing Wilma. Now, this girl is $7.50 to win and $1.90 to place. If you can get black figures, if you can get $2 or better, you have to go each way her all day. She is such a talented bitch, but her issue is she is injury prone. It's a shame because she's still young. If she is, she's had 6 weeks off, boys. She couldn't be better drawn. And if she is at 75% right, she would lead all the way and win this. These are massive odds, but you're not taking on so much the opposition and all that. You're taking on whether she can get around safe and sound. She's got so much talent, but she's had no luck in her early racing career. But that price is massive. That will shorten. You have to go Fix.
Okay. I'm doing that as we speak. Gambling responsible, everyone. Beautiful. Now, another value one, Toddy?
Yeah, well, this is value when some, boys. So race six, number six, Victor Jess. Now, she is $51 to win and $6 to place. Now, don't get the wrong idea and start going hard or anything like that. It's just, if it's anything, she's worth, put your coins on to win, your notes on for the place. Look, this race is going to be run to suit her. She has been so disrespected in this market. She won last start at Gawler. The pace is going to be on here. The one, the two, the three, and the eight, they're all going to go like a shower of you-know-what early and take each other on. This race is going to be made for a run-on dog. She likes having a target. She likes, there's going to be some dogs going hammer and tongs up front. She's going to have a target. If she can weave through this, weave through this field, which she's pretty savvy in a field, this is just massive odds. I will not be shocked if she makes the podium. I think she is generally about a 15 to 20 to 1 pot myself. But that $6 a place is just looking so tasty.
Wow. How about that?
And you've got another one, race nine, number five, and also number eight.
Yeah, now this, if I had to say my best bet was, this would probably be it. But I back in a six-dog field, you've got to back them both just to win. You can't really make much of a profit if you go each way or anything. But race nine, number five, Threaten. Look, I reckon he's your dead set leader in this race. I think he'll lead. There's a big question mark on the Melbourne dog here, number one, Mapunga Warrior. Now, he obviously hasn't seen this track. He'll be foreign to the track. And since they've redeveloped it, there's been a few local dogs who know this track like the back of their paws who are struggling the first time out of these boxes. So I'm looking for something to beat this favourite. Threaten will be a leader here for mine. And Meet Joe Black in Box 8, good movie, good dog. We've thrown him out a few times here. He was a Goliath-like effort to win last week. He had Box 8, which is ideal for him, but he got knocked from pillar to post. He had no right to run a place, let alone win. He showed so much tenacity and so much just oomph to push through. He's got the perfect draw again. If this favourite falters at the start, the five's going to be in front and the eight will be storming home. If the eight lobs in front of this even money pop from the red, he'll beat it home.
Hey, Toddy, Gemtree Maximus, I reckon we were down there when it debuted with you. Yep. Where does that rank in the scheme of dogs in times it can run? Is it one of the better dogs or just an up-and-coming greyhound?
He's still young. He's still young and he's going very well. He ran a place in the Group 3 race last week. He's went on with it, lads, but he's more of a, he is a, one of the best, probably 400 to 450 metre dogs in SA, but he really struggles that last 50 to 75 metres, which is really just, at the moment, he's still got time to improve, but right now that's just stopping him from being just an absolute champion at the moment. He just tippy-toes that last 50 metres, but he has got some of the best mid-race acceleration in the state at the moment. And I do think he'll win tonight, but over to 5:30, I just know he's going to tippy-toe that last 50. But he's went on with it. He's a great dog, but just at the moment, he's not a fair income 500-metre-plus dog.
Now, just in closing, Toddy, your little dog called Sassy, your kennel name, he ran on Monday and finished just behind him.
Yeah, well, look, every chance to run second, I can't deny that. What she did wrong, unfortunately, in that home turn, she went that wide. I reckon she high-fived someone in the Riverland. She went that wide. Lads, look, she's generally not that wide a runner. But look, she's pulled up fine. She's actually in at Gawler on Sunday. She's got box one again, so we're not even asking for box one. We keep drawing it. That might be a secret. She knows Gawler better. I do actually think she'll go a lot better at Gawler on Sunday. But she was fine. She ran fourth. It was an absolutely fine run. She should have run second, to be honest. But that's what inexperience and youth can do to you. She got a bit lost on the home turn. She's pulled up fine and she'll only learn from it. But no, I'm still proud of her.
Great stuff. Toddy Gray there. Just before we go to the break, to our poll for Keno, who wins in the sample tomorrow night, Glenelg, taking on South Adelaide. It's gone up to 50-50 at the moment. Well, he just changed. Just clicked over as we speak.
Just Jade Sheedy, Woodville vs Torrens, signed a 3-year extension, mate.
Yep. The all-new Kia Niro electric SUV range available as a hybrid, plug-in hybrid and full electric. On the other side, John Ralph.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Lumo SA. Aussie-owned, made for Adelaide.
Malcolm Blight and David Woody, all thanks to Weeks. Discover how we're delivering higher standard of design and build quality. Weeks Homes, discover different. Also Tyre Power, your trusted tyre experts. We're going to speak now with John Ralph. He's with the Herald Sun and Fox Footy, and now he's with us, and he joins us tonight. Hi, John, how are you?
Hello, guys. Yeah, normally with grand final week over here, which makes the earth move. Instead, we've got a bloody grade six. Well, we haven't had hurricanes, but we have unfortunately had all things close to it. We haven't had the plague as well. It's a pretty sad and sombre old week here in grand final week in Melbourne, but hopefully a couple of Melbourne teams are in the grand final in at Perth Stadium. Might just light us up on Saturday night.
Yeah, it promises to be, I think, one of the most evenly contested grand finals, but you got to feel for some of the Melbourne supporters and Western Bulldogs, really, but 57 years and a chance to get to the MCG, you know, you could fit another 40,000, 50,000 Demon supporters. Just so sad in a way.
Yeah, it is. And look, I understand that, you know, those long-suffering supporters are so keen to be there. I look at it from a personal point of view, you know, having watched a couple of, with the Tigers, you know. It's what happens from a family point of view. You've got these young kids who, you know, in the case of Melbourne, you know, have had a very little success, same as Richmond through the 80s and 90s and the early 2000s. And then all of a sudden you get it. You want your kids to see it live because then they become rusted on, and then you never have to worry about your partner or your uncle or whoever it might be dragging them away from you. So hopefully, specifically if you're a Melbourne supporter, having waited those 57 years, at least if you're a dog supporter, you saw it in 2016. But yeah, for me, I'm barracking for history. I'm barracking for the draft broken. And yeah, and at least if those Melbourne supporters can watch it with their kids and see something absolutely extraordinary, that'll be one for the ages.
If the Dogs can win, John, do you think it's actually better than 16 in the fact they've travelled to about five different states and they finished fifth once again, didn't get the double chance?
Probably from a, you know, purely a mileage point of view, and probably from a hardship point of view. You know, Blighty would know better than me, but I think when you're also tackling history, I think that you know, that is an absolutely, you know, not an insurmountable obstacle, but one that is so difficult. I think that, you know, we went through a stage there where we had a lot of one-sided grand finals. You know, to think that, you know, since 2005, you know, we've seen Sydney, a 72-year drought. We've seen Richmond, you know, 40-odd-year drought. It felt like longer than that as a Tiger supporter. You know, to see 2016 and what's happened, and, you know, even Geelong, obviously, as Blighty would know, you know, it might have only been, 63, wasn't it, till 2007. You know, still 40-odd years. Mm. It's been a magical period in history for, you know, for all the hardships we've had from COVID and from plagues and thunder and all that kind of stuff. To think that we've been able to, you know, live through four of those drought-breaking eras, and hopefully now for the Melbourne Football Club, it would be something magical.
John, I tend to agree with that. I think it's a game of the people for the people and should be shared by the people, and that means all clubs. So I'm on your side. Hey, listen, just going forward, I mean, I know they've signed a long-term deal with the MCG. Now, I was at the Gabba last year, which I'm fortunate enough to present the medal to Damien Hardwick. It's going to be in Perth this year. I've just got a feeling, and this is really just opening up, two out of three should be at the MCG, and then on a bit of a roster system around the country. You know, I just reckon that would be a really good thing for the game to do, and you can just make that ad infinitum, two out of three, give them another 100 years at the MCG. How do you think that would go?
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, the question was asked of Gillon McLachlan last week, and he just palmed the question off again. He said, yeah, as a sop, oh, we might give Perth Stadium one every three Dreamtime in the West Games. You know, if we truly believe that we're a national competition, yep, it's an absolute joke to think that we have this grand final that is now being expanded to 2057. Now, if there was a valid reason, Blighty, you know, if it was only about money, but we've seen that, you know, the AFL has said themselves this week they're making nearly as much money from a grand final with all the corporates they have over at Perth Stadium than they have at the MCG. Now, the only real reason that was extended, you know, from I think it was 37 to 57 was so the state government in Victoria gave a heck of a lot of money to redevelop the MCG and to redevelop Marvel Stadium as it's now known. You know, so it was purely a corporate reason. Every third year, every fifth year, whatever it is, we're not a national competition until we're spreading this grand final across this great country, because we've seen with the Gabba, and we're about to see it on Saturday night, they do just as good a job. The only issue is not 100,000, but that's okay. You know, for the equity of it, I'd love to see it spread around.
Yeah, I'm starting to get that way too. Now, listen, all those Richmond supporters that have had a wonderful 4 or 5 years, what are they going to do this weekend? They'll just go gardening, will they? They won't even watch it, will they?
Well, we will. We'll have to watch our favourite team, which, of course, is the Melbourne Storm. You know, we're Melbourne Storm lovers before we're Richmond lovers as well. Won't that be great as well? You know, it was such a gap in the market. You know, I understand the razzmatazz and the, you know, the lights and all that stuff and the fireworks of a night game. I still think, you know, the perfect time for a grand final is about 4 o'clock. So it maximises the ratings. Well, let's face it, you know, we're all in the business of trying to maximise ratings. You know, but it's not something you have to wait for 7:34. The kids can watch it. And so Melbourne Storm have been so smart, haven't they, to move that prelim forward to 4 o'clock. So the Tigers supporters will have to be comfortable with the new acquisition of our superstar player in Robbie Tarrant, who's 32, and a fullback who's replacing, of course, David Asprey. But it's just going to be so intriguing. You know, so many of these empires have fallen and fallen so hard. Richmond are attempting to play some kids, you know, attempting to still prolong their window. You know, are they half pregnant? I'm not sure. So, it'll be so fascinating to see what happens for the Richmond 40 Club in a couple of years because, I get the feeling our premiership era is over.
I'll never forget that Marlon Pickett's debut on grand final. Does a sort of reverse blind step and amazing. But you wrote a great article on Cozzie Pickett too, John. Like to watch Cyril Rioli highlights on repeat. He's been a great story, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been magnificent. And look, Byron Pickett has been instrumental, and so have so many of the great people of South Australia. Yeah, so, you know, only a couple of years into his career, as I wrote in that story, which will be in the Adelaide Advertiser tomorrow and also on Super Footy as well. Yeah, he came across from Perth. He was basically adopted by his, as he calls it, his second mum. And then at 13, Byron Pickett, his uncle wanted to have a big part of his life. And so, yeah, he spent a couple of years with him. You know, they were tough years from a circumstances point of view. But then, a lot of the great people there, including Paul Vanderberg, who ran the Port Adelaide Indigenous programs, got him into his Prince Alfred College. And he just went from strength to strength there. You know, he's had a lot of hardships along the way. You know, a lot of time in different parts of the Pickett family, but he's one hell of a player. And us guys who are middle-aged white guys, we have absolutely no idea of the hardships and the challenges that so many of these Indigenous players have overcome. And he looks an absolute star on the stage. And as Paul Vanderberg, who's now running all of the AFL diversity programs, he said he's already succeeded now, but he could be one of the great role models for all Indigenous players to see how far he's come and the resilience he's shown.
Yeah, it's a great read in the Herald Sun. Now, Malcolm Blight played a young Simon Goodwin many years ago as a 19-year-old for the Crows. And he played a couple of premierships in his first 2 years. Young Bowie, only 7 games, but he's keeping some good players out. He must be a real talent, John.
No doubt. Yeah, he's got calm above his shoulders. He's got poise. He's only a 7 gamer. He's got speed, which, as Blighty knows, will get you a very long way in the AFL. But he doesn't really seem to make mistakes. You know, so he's come into that team. Only really came into that team when Jaden Hunt came out. Hunt had played 20 games in a row, and he's held his spot. So we're all waiting to see this afternoon, you know, whether Joel Smith comes back into that side. But right now it seems like he's holding out Joel Smith. He's certainly holding out Jaden Hunt. And he's just one of the great stories himself. And look, just on Simon Goodwin as well. You know, in a week where, you know, Ben Cousins has started a very long march back to respectability, but certainly he started that journey. I just love what Melbourne did with Simon Goodwin. He'd been there at the peptides saga at Essendon. He certainly had his gambling issues, which were very well known. And the Melbourne board, when they thought of that succession plan, they didn't gild the lily. They brought him in and they asked him every one of those hard questions, and he was able to answer them because he'd gone away and worked on himself. And he, you know, looks another modern-day success story. Of course, he's, you know, won a premiership with Blighty. But, you know, I think of the second chances in the AFL, you can get pretty deep. But I think there's always second chances in the AFL. Not 5th and 6th and 7th necessarily, but, you know, of all the great stories there, and Cozzie's one of those, and so potentially is Bowie. You know, I think he's one for the AFL as well. And for everyone who's had a struggle in their life and thinks, do I get a second chance? Yeah, absolutely you do.
Yeah, certainly. We'll talk about Michael Voss in a minute. I just want to ask you something there. But just before we go, there's movement in the camp. We know that the trade period is starting up very shortly. Now, Jordan Dawson, the lad from Sydney, has nominated the Crows. What do you reckon he's worth? And I just want to ask you about Tyson Stengel, who's about to play in the grand final for Woodville West Torrens here in the Sandful. Ex-Richmond, ex-Crows player. I mean, I've seen him a bit this year. He can actually still play a bit. Do you reckon he's worth a pick? Just your opinion on Dawson and Stengel.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Look, I think if Dawson went to Port Adelaide, they had pick 16, which would have become about pick 18. I think that's just about spot on. You know, so for Adelaide, look, their first rounder clearly is at 2 or 3. You know, it means that their second round is about 21, might blow back a couple of picks. So I think he's absolutely worth that, and maybe a swap of some second rounders to just sweeten the deal a little bit, because I think he's worth a bit more than 21.
Yep.
He's a beautiful kick, third in a really good side. And they needed to win one. You know, they're really upset about the talk that, oh, well, they just opened the checkbook and they got it done. You know, they feel like through Mark Ricciuto and through their fantastic young coach and the, what they're building, they felt there was a really identifiable role for him. And he saw the growth and he saw, you know, how we could grow with them. Yeah, and for Stengel, yeah, he was absolutely floated really heavily in the mid-season draft. And I just think, you know, some clubs out there just weren't quite sure in terms of the, you know, the, some of the stuff-ups he's had. They wanted to see a little bit more. And so, you know, having pushed deep into the finals there, yeah, I think absolutely they'll be looking for him. Yeah, it may well be it's a summer train-on. You know, it may well be that they need to see a little bit more through the summer. But, you know, he had probably as much talent as anyone in that mid-season draft and got overlooked. So, you know, if he can prove himself and he can roll up in his sleeves, he's done. I think he absolutely gets a second chance in the AFL.
Yeah, what, Dawson, pre-season draft, do you reckon they'll take a punt there like they did with, who was it?
Jackson Hadley, yeah. I don't think so. Look, I asked a couple of player managers this week, and they said, as much as the clubs would love to do it, the players hate it. Because the players, you know, if you're Jordan Dawson, you're coming home from Sydney, you've had a great time at Sydney, you've got no ill will there, and you don't want to screw them over, you know. Yeah. Let's not gild the lily there. So I think what happened with Haley is Adelaide and ZWS couldn't get a deal done. We saw it with Carlton as well, with Jack Martin a few years before that. You know, those deals didn't get done. The only way to get them through to the preseason. So, yeah, I think Adelaide knows they've got to pay up. They've got a lot of young kids there. You know, some that are coming through and some that haven't been developed yet and haven't emerged yet. I think they'll pay the price for him, and he'll be a wonderful player for them for the next 10 years.
Herald Sun and Fox Footy's John Ralph. Before we get your tip, John, the cost of the AFL, financial cost, there's been hotels, there's been chartered flights, there's been hubs, there's been this and that. Have we seen the full fallout yet? I mean, it must have cost them an arm and a leg just to keep the comp going.
Yeah, I mean, Gil McLachlan talked about budget estimates for the AFL and clubs at $700 million. He said over the 2 years, that's how much that they think they've lost. Now, I don't know whether he's, just putting a little bit of sugar on that one. But, yeah, it's been catastrophic for the AFL, something like $6 or $7 million a week for the last 10 or 12 weeks. Look, I just hope we go and get vaccinated. You know, there are some fears out there that, you know, it'll be just as bad next year because we'll have, you know, thousands of people, you know, per day with COVID issues, and the hospitals will be flooded. I just think I just think we've been really compliant all the way along. You know, there's a really small minority there who are idiots who are, you know, in the streets of Melbourne right now. But if we can get, you know, 85% and 90% vaccinated, you just look at the crowds over there in England, you look at the crowds in America. A lot of these really powerful clubs, you know, call it Richmond and Adelaide and West Coast and Collingwood, they've set themselves up so well over the last 5 years. They will make that many millions of dollars if they can get people flooding back in full houses. And so, you know, I think the football economy is set up to absolutely succeed. You know, they'll have to chip in a couple of million dollars for the smaller clubs, you know, and potentially a Tasmanian club. But, if we can just get enough people vaccinated, I think we're going to be in a really, really strong position. But everything surrounds that. Otherwise, we're going back into lockdowns if we can only get to, you know, call it 75% vaccination rate across Australia.
You're not scared we can't get back to pre-COVID crowds? You think there'll be some residual effect of that?
Oh, I think for some people it will, and I'm really scared about grassroots football in Victoria. You know, I only look at my own kids and their experience with screen time now and their obsession with that, and, you know, 20 minutes in the park and then they want to get back and play Minecraft. So there's a bit of that. And so it might take some time, but as much as you sit back with a nice glass of red and you watch your Fox footy in 4K and all those kind of things, and it's great, there still is nothing better than a full MCG crowd. And the only thing that would have me confident that the crowds will kick back is the memberships have been extraordinary. You know, they have stayed as strong as they ever have been. There is a real sense of community. And I know you guys have had it good and, you know, you've done the right thing over in Adelaide. But, you know, just getting back to having an ice cold pot at the Ascot Vale Hotel over the tray, you know, going back to seeing a bit of theatre, you know, going back to seeing a movie, you know, in 4K itself. And I think footy will be a big part of that. You know, I just think we'll be really keen to get out and see our friends at the MCG, at the Frank Gray Smith Bar, at the MCC on a Friday night. Yeah, I hope that we'll flood back in droves.
Now, just on Vossi, I think it's a really good appointment. You know, I'm a bit of a fan of Vossi's, and I thought he spoke really well today. You would have watched the interview and all that unfold with Brian Cook. I believe it's a really good appointment for him. Where do you sit with it?
No, I love it. You know, I still think he's got a little bit of that gravitas as a triple premiership player. And say if you're, Sam Phillip, a first-round draft pick who's a 19-year-old, you never would have seen Vossi strutting his stuff. But, you know, I think he's got gravitas there. I think he's learned from his first experience. You know, as he said to the Carlton faithful and hit all the right notes, we want to have brutal aggression in regards to the integrity of the contest. And we want to set up really well and actually win the ball back and score from there. And I think if you're a Carlton fan, they're all the things that lacked under David Teague. you know, it's really unfortunate what happened to Teague, and thank goodness he's come back into Richmond as an assistant coach and he's still in the AFL program. But he was a really honourable guy. Maybe he wasn't the coach for the right time at Carlton. I absolutely love, you know, what Michael Voss has been able to do, and the fact that he just kept on putting his hand up. And he said, no, I had no hesitation in putting my hand up to apply for this position, despite being rough a couple of years back. So, I love his perseverance. I love what he stands for. Yeah, I love watching Michael Voss play, and I think he'd make a great fit for this role, which has a list which I think he's not ready to explode, but it has so much latent potential. And if he can harness that with Adam Chera and George Hewitt from Sydney as well as a couple of quick-fix midfielders, I think they can go a long way in the next 3 or 4 years.
Great stuff. Dogs of the Ds, your tip?
Is for me, 28 points, Cozzy Pickett at 51 bucks for the Norm Smith.
Oh.
And for Tracker to kick the first goal. He's probably only out of 10 bucks, but can't wait. And as you know, when you've seen my footy tips, I'm about in the bottom third. So ignore all of my predictions, but... yeah, it's going to be a ripper whichever way it falls.
John, I say it the other way. I'm in the same spot, but I'm at the top of the bottom third.
Great stuff there. Herald Sun and Fox Footy's John Ralphall for Tyre Power. Great deals, brands you can trust. Big Footy final sale on right now.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.
Markham Blight and David Wilde for weeks discover a better way to build. Weeks homes discover different. Mind that. Two grand finals in Melbourne, then you share one around, another two there, then one around.
Yeah.
So probably one in every 16 years, somewhere around there.
Yeah. Good
idea. Okay, time now for Throwback Thursday. This is your last one for
a
couple of weeks.
No, Friday.
Yeah, not Throwback Thursday, though.
No.
For Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand. Get the range of confidence. For the price of a quad, visit your local Polaris dealer today.
In fact, it would be Flashback Friday, but anyway. Here we go. And David, just this really quick one. 951, I've never seen this before in my life. Otto the Great became king of Italy. I thought you'd be impressed with that.
Wow.
I've never heard that before. And in 1642, Harvard College commenced in Massachusetts. You know, that's where all the smarties go.
100 years ago.
Yeah. 1868, a 17-year-old... Tom Morris Jr. defeated Tom Morris Senior in the Open, the British Open. And in 1913, I'm just going to spend a half a minute on this. In 1913, Roland Garros was the first to fly over the Mediterranean Sea. And, of course, you well know...
French Tennis Open.
The war hero and trailblazer for aviation is what the stadium is named after for the French Open.
Didn't know that.
I knew you didn't. I was going to give you a quiz, but I didn't. Because I wanted to get straight to this one.
Yeah.
I did, straight to this one.
Yeah.
In 1957, there was a song from a singer called Buddy Holly, and it was this. No, this. Oh. Listen to this.
That'll be the day. When you say goodbye. That'll be the day.
When you make me cry.
Said you were gonna leave me. You know that's a lie. That'll be the day.
Now that's tonight,
hi,
because tomorrow I'm saying goodbye to you for a couple of weeks. And also, just to point out that Buddy obviously died in that plane crash a couple of years later.
The plane was American Pie.
Yeah, it was. And isn't it funny how I'm going to say goodbye? And it happened on this day. That
well, I hope you come back, though.
Yeah, no. He was number one on this day. Now, in 1962, so 5 years later, the first colour TV series on ABC TV in America was a cartoon by the name of...
Bugs Bunny?
No. Oh. Have a listen.
The Jetsons.
Yes. Well, that was today. It started today. First,
you guys have been working overtime.
Yeah, we have. And in 2018, that was good, wasn't it? Sound effects.
Oh, not bad.
Oh, Sam, he's having a crack at you.
No, not better than not bad. Pretty good. Pretty good.
In 2018, I remember this clearly, Tiger Woods won the Tour Championship. It was his 80th PGA start, and it was his first win in 5 years. Remember that? And there's a birthday today. Plays for Port Adelaide.
What are we, 23rd of September,
Plays for Port Adelaide.
How old is he today?
Turns 31, exactly.
31, it's not Jonas, not Charlie Dixon.
Yes.
It's Charlie Dixon.
Yes, it is. So 31 today. It's
not bad.
Not bad.
Pretty well. Yeah, pretty well.
They're all right, weren't they? They're all right.
Put a bit of work into it. It was good. Lumo SA, Aussie-owned with energy plants and great local awards made for Adelaide. That's it for us tonight. Good show. Johnny Ralph was there.
Yeah, excellent.
You had a couple of things you brought up, as you always do.
Yeah, Vossie at Carlton and, grand finals.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right. You have a tomorrow good night. And we'll do it again for your last night for a little while. See you then.
Bye, David.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Lumo SA. Aussie owned, made for Adelaide.